It's good to see all of you. Y'all are a good-looking crowd. Amen. Look at the fellow beside you and say, I sure am glad. I don't look like you. No, I don't do that. I'm sorry. Sorry I did that. Look in your Bible, please. Matthew chapter 7. Welcome to all our friends on the internet, our folks who watch us every week, for our guests here in the building. Thank you for being here. So we're just blessed that you're here, for all of you. And again, we're sure glad this morning Brother Bobby and Ms. Lee got to be back in the service with us this morning. What a blessing. And for all of you who are here, keep Brother Calvin in your prayers and remember him. Pray for Ms. Jennifer Price. She's going to have back surgery, but her bones are so weak or deteriorated that they've got to try to get her bones strengthened before they can ever do that surgery. And she lives in almost constant pain with that. So please remember her in prayer and ask God's blessing on her and all the others. Pray for Brother Jimmy Johnson's mama and keep her in your prayers and all the rest of them. We miss Brother Bob and Ms. Esther, but they're going to get back in here for long. You remember them in prayer. How many of you, first of all, a little survey, how many of you have ever heard me preach on The Birds Are Still Singing live, not on a tape, but you've heard me preach on it in this auditorium? Raise your hands. All right, that told me something right then. This passage of scripture I mentioned to you, I've been reading back over the Sermon on the Mount over and over again as I've tried to bring you thoughts. I've not gone through it, you know, verse by verse or consistently, but just as God lays on my heart. But I was so thankful this week about the blessings of the Lord. And there where we stayed up in Newport, Tennessee, every morning, the very cool, it was a lot cooler up there in here in the 60s most of the time. But when I'd go out and walk a little bit, the birds were singing everywhere. And what a blessing. Matter of fact, I made a little video, a self video, that I was going to try to post on my Facebook. Never got nerve enough to do it, but I will do one. But it was such a blessing. But you pray. I had texted Brad back and forth about that. My records, I said 2005, but when I looked back again, I couldn't read my own writing. It actually was 2015. So that's the last time that I preached it here. But God's blessed. And so somewhere down the road, I think in the next few weeks, God may allow us to do that. This morning, I want you to look in your Bible, Matthew chapter number 7. I encourage you to get in Sunday school. We had a great Sunday school this morning, and it's sure good to see Brother Mitchell and Miss Sylvia back in Sunday school, be able to be back this morning, and thank God for all of our capable teachers who've been teaching, and Brother Danny and the Bible. We have three adult classes you go in, actually four, might be even five, but we have a ladies class for just ladies, and then we have a fellowship Bible class. That's just about any age in there, above teenage, in the fellowship hall. And then our upper seniors are Brother Mitchell's class right back here. Brother Barry teaches in here. And when Brother Barry, before COVID, Brother Barry was in the room over here, and all of our Sunday school classes were about packed out, especially Brother Barry's. But while we were not doing Sunday school for COVID, Brother Barry asked him, and he and Joe Barry got it set up, and he started broadcasting live from his home Sunday school. And so when we came back in the auditorium, we didn't miss very many Sundays, but when we came back in the Sunday school, regular Sunday school, I asked Brother Barry, would he mind teaching in here? And it's a lot different than having your own classroom and everything, but God used him. And we are so blessed in the auditorium class. So you got all those classes for adults and then a class for every age group. I encourage you to come early. Be here at 10 o'clock or at 9:45 and get in your Sunday school class and be ready to go at 10. So appreciate you being here this morning. Glad that God's good to us, isn't he? Say amen. Amen. Look in your Bible. This is part of the great Sermon on the Mount. And it's like anything else I've ever tried to study in the Word of God. It always gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I want to look at verse number 13 beginning this morning. And you remember last week I dealt with a subject where he talked about ask and seek and knock. But now I'm going to skip a verse, but we'll come back to that. But notice verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works, wonderful works? Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, that work iniquity. Therefore, whoso heareth these words of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, but it was found, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That's the end of my text, but I want to go ahead and read these last two verses. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I want us to pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for Brother Brad, Lord, for the congregational singing this morning. Lord, what a joy it is to see this great number here in the building this morning and to realize that we have maybe even a greater number in the internet audience that will view this on YouTube later, or that will listen to it in another time over the radio. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would fill me this morning, touch me. And God, I confess that there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from the work of the Spirit of God, nothing of eternal consequence to take place. But God, speak to hearts, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a quick question before I get started this morning. Where are y'all going to go eat lunch at?
With you.
With me. All right. How many like Bojangles? Raise your hand. All right. No. Somebody said the other day, I think we ought to have a restaurant somewhere in this area called I Don't Care.
Yeah.
Because when we get our crowd together and we try and decide where we're going to go eat, and I say, where'd you like to go? I don't care. Where you going? I don't care. If we had a place called I Don't Care, that we'd have a great restaurant. You could have a lot of people to come. Sometimes it's hard for us to make a decision. Some people, you know, if you look at people and their personalities, they think, they analyze everything, they got to consider everything. It's not a bad thing, but it's hard for people to make a decision. But there are some decisions that you better make it affirmatively. You better do it quickly, and you ought to do it with a sincere heart. There are some decisions you must make. In this passage of Scripture, our Lord Jesus, in closing the Sermon on the Mount, talks about four different things. In the first place, as you look at this, he talks about there are two different paths. Then he talks about there are two different kinds of trees. He said there are two different kind of followers, and there are two different kinds of houses. That's all in those verses I just read to you. The number two in the Bible, numerically, is the number for testimony. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. It's the word of testimony. And he's saying your choice about either one of these will be your testimony. And then that there were four of these, and I think four represents the world, north, south, east, and west. And your testimony before the world is decided by what decision you make. Someone was telling me some time ago, I think Brother Erskine, about one of the richest men in America. And he said that his wealth could be attributed to one, maybe two decisions in his life. One was the decision on the woman that he would marry, and the other was a decision about his choice of life's work. That's those decisions altered and changed his life forever and made it to become one of the richest men, if not the richest man at one time in the world. And so decisions are very important. Now I want to share with you just a few minutes from our Lord's verses here, and I'll have to do it quickly, on decisions and destiny. In the first place, you remember he said there were two paths. One of them says that it's narrow and straight. Notice, if you will, please, verse 13. And he said, in that regard, for us, notice, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He's talking about two gates. One of them he describes as being narrow and straight. One of them is broad. And he said the majority of the people will go through the broad gate. They'll go that way. But he challenges people. In the first place, I want you to notice that his direction. He said, enter. You're to enter. Matter of fact, in the Greek text, when he says enter, it's not a question mark at the end of that. It's not an open statement. It is, in fact, a command. It's like somebody saying, you go this way because there's no other way. There's a sense of urgency, a sense of necessity. You go this way, enter, you go here, go in. We spent Tuesday, we went to Dollywood, and they got all the rides and all the shows and all the food and all of that stuff. We didn't get into many of those, but one of those we went into was one of the larger auditoriums where they had there, and there were people gathered all around. And when we got into the auditorium, I was surprised because it was huge. There was probably 1,000 people in there. And we had all just came through. There were double doors, but we all came through one door. The entrance had the word entrance up there. There was just one door to get in. And all those thousands of people, that 1,000 people came in through the same door. Now, when they exited, they opened extra exit doors to let them get out. But as they came in, everybody came in through one door. And when he says to us, we have a decision to make. You can either go through this narrow door, this narrow way, or you can go the broad way. And he said, there's very few that will go the narrow way. But the decision has to be made, and you have to make the decision. If you die lost and you end up in hell, you cannot blame your mama or your daddy or anybody else. You have that decision to make for yourself. You don't die and go to hell because of sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has a history. We're all sinners by nature. But we go to heaven because of a decision that we make. That is, that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something else about this gate, this narrow gate. He describes it. He describes this gate that leads to everlasting life as one that is for verse number 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Now, some people think that we're wrong by saying there's only one way to heaven, but I believe the Bible. And Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now, that's not a Baptist statement. It's a Baptist belief, but it's not a Baptist statement. The Methodists didn't say that. Nobody else said that. Jesus said that. He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. And would you notice, I thought this interesting, the Holy Ghost of God put it this way. He said to enter in at the straight gate. That's a definite article, the. And then he goes on and he says, and broad is the way. He's talking about these only two choices. And you only have two. But he says of that narrow gate, he says two things about it. He says in the first place, he said this way, is straight as the gate and narrow is the way. It sounded to me as I first read that some time ago that he's saying the same thing in two different ways. A straight, I was thinking about straight, like an arrow straight way, and then narrow, meaning, you know, small, and I imagined it to be the same way. But when I did a little study on that Greek word straight, it's the word for gorge. Like if you go from here to Tennessee, you go down through the gorge. Used to, before they had it four-lane, it was really an experience going through the gorge. And what it is a picture of is it is a gorge or a pathway or a valley or what do you call it, but it's on either side are granite or stone walls. Now, Brother Ralph Sexton Sr. started going to Israel back in the early 50s. He first went in his own self. He had been studying about it. Israel didn't become a nation again until 1948. And so they'd only been a nation 2 or 3 years when Ralph Sexton Sr. went the first time. But he went and saw things. He saw the sights. And just 2019, we went with his son. And Brother Ralph himself, Ralph Jr., has been 54 times, I think, at that time. And we went to the very same places just about his daddy saw before there was so much building took place. We didn't go to certain places. We didn't go to Petra and some other places. But there is a place over there where there's a gorge. It's solid rock on either side. And it's been there for all of these years. And when he says this way, number one, is straight, it means it's solid, it's firm, it's fixed. Nobody has ever gone to heaven without going through the Jesus Christ, and they never will. It doesn't change, it's always the same. And God made it for me and you. And I got to thinking about that solid rock, and as you go through that solid rock, that's the way to everlasting life. And Jesus Christ is called the Rock of Ages. Cleft for me. Listen, you think about that. You remember what Moses said, I want to see the glory of God. And he said, I can't let you see all of my glory. You couldn't live in a human body and experience that. But he said, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and you'll see my hinder parts when I go by. And there was a place of revelation. And when you go through that place, my dear friend, not only that way, is it a way that's solid, that's established, it's eternal, and I don't care how many go that way, it'll still be the way. You won't ever wear it out, and everybody in this building could be saved and go to heaven. Everybody in the sound of my voice could be saved and go to heaven, and it's always there. It's not going to waver. It's not going to change. It's going to be secure forever and forever. But think about it. It is a wonderful place of hiding. As we took some hikes this past week, we went through some little areas where there's a lot of rock. And the rock was there, and I don't know where it was coming from, but it seemed as almost if water was coming out of that rock. And as I thought about this passage of Scripture, I thought about that when you go that way, it's a place not only of stability, it's not only a way of that, but it's a way of refreshing. My dear God, if you go that way, He'll change your life. You'll feel the presence of God and the power of God like you've never felt it before. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him, He said. It's a secure way. It's a stable way. It's a refreshing way. And on the other side is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And it comes by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe on Him. But now notice not only the description of it, but notice the destination of it. He said, this narrow way leads to life, everlasting life. But the other way leads to destruction. If you're going the broad way, you're going to a place called hell for all eternity. You say, Brother Billy, I got friends and all this, and they're doing this, that, and the other. Well, you better think, first of all, about the narrow way. You go with Christ. You go through that narrow way. But let me quickly say this to you. He said there were two trees. If you'll notice, he describes these trees, one being evil and one being good. And there's a picture of the fruitfulness of a believer in Christ. Once you've gone into that valley, once you've gone in through that gorge, once you've gone into the rock, you become a good tree and you bring forth good fruit. You know what? There are people who think they can go to heaven by doing good deeds. But the Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And I'll amplify on that in a few minutes. But He said this, He said, that good tree does not bring forth evil fruit, it brings forth good fruit. And that evil tree brings forth evil fruit. You know, you and I, who are saved by the grace of God, we don't have any goodness in us, but the fruit is in the root. Whatever that root does, it comes out through us who are the branches. He's the vine, we're the branches. And the grapes come out on those vines. And my dear friend, you have a Christian life and your life is demonstrated, you see, it's not doing good deeds to be saved. But if you go in at that straight gate, if you go in that narrow gate, you are a good tree and you'll bring forth good fruit. And so he said, by this you'll know. You see them and you'll know by their fruit. And so the question mark this morning in my life and your life, since we made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, since we trusted him, have we produced fruit? Have we produced greater love? Have we produced in our life faith? Have we caused people to see Christ in us and glorify him? It's not so we can be saved, but has he put in your heart those good things which he has before ordained that you should walk in them? If you've been saved, God changed your life. You became a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, and you have to bring forth good fruits. Has there been a change in your life? Some people say to me, Brother Bill, I can't live the life. Well, welcome to the club. Nobody else can. You can't live the life. You can't produce fruit. The fruit is in the root, and the root is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's that root out of dry ground. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you're part of him, and we abide in him, and the fruit is produced through him in your life. If you've trusted him, there's good things in your life. If you trusted him, you testify a good testimony, and you're a blessing to folks to be around them. And there's the tree. Think about this. Both of these, they both have fruit. Both trees have fruit, some good, some evil. And that evil fruit comes because of the root that it's attached to. And Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. The reason people sin is because they are evil tree. But God will change all that. God can save you, make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. He can give you everlasting life. These trees both will be judged. If you read this, that's what he's talking about. You have to give an account one day of the things done in your flesh, whether they were good or bad. But here is the determining factor. If you've gone through the narrow gate, you have life everlasting. And your judgment is for rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't have time to even touch on that. But if you're lost and you don't know Christ, your fruit that you have produced in days of your life, you'll have to answer for that at the judgment seat. I know some guys, I remember people used to say when they were, I was growing up, their daddy would drink, their mama, all these things going on. And they had this little statement, you don't do as I do, just do as I say. You don't do what I do. But they are. They're going to follow you. And you've sown seeds in your life of evil fruit, not believing the Bible, not being faithful to the house of God, not loving Jesus, not honoring God with your substance. You're bearing fruit. And it's going to influence generation after generation after generation. And every one of us, Paul said, every one of us will have to give an account of himself one of these days. If you're saved at the judgment seat, not for salvation, but for rewards. And if you're lost at the white throne judgment, for punishment of the seeds you've sown, not just in your little lifetime, but for generations after you that follow your example and that you've misled. And a mama or a daddy who refused to trust Christ, refused to believe the Bible, they raised behind them a generation of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren that don't love God, that don't love the Bible, and don't want to go to church. But what a different heritage you could have if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he talks about those who follow him. One of the most disturbing verses in all the Bible to me is in verse number 21. Listen to what it said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, you see that word, many? He used it one time before. He said, many will go the broad way. This is part of that many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wondrous works? If you'll notice what they say, it's all about them. It's all about what they did. Are you a person who believes you're going to go to heaven because of what you do? Your good works or your good deeds or whatever. But he said this, he said, depart from, he said, verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me that work iniquity. You say, Brother Bill, how is that iniquity? How is that iniquity? Well, it's kind of like if you had an apple tree in your yard and it died, had no life in it whatsoever. And you say, well, I sure miss my apples. And so you'll run down to the food line or to Carly C's and buy a bag of red delicious apples and hang on that dead tree those apples. For just a brief time, it'll look good. But after a while, those apples will begin to decay. Why? Because they're not attached to the tree, and the tree's not attached to the root, and there's no life in them. And all the good deeds that you do, thinking you're going to go to heaven, he says in the Bible, are like filthy rags. You can't do that. No way you can go to heaven. But I want to turn over to the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, I want to read a verse to you about the will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying this on down a little bit further. He says that those who are in that good house are those who will do the will of my Father. Now, what is the will of God? How do you get to go to heaven? Let me show it to you in your Bible just real quick. In the Gospel of John, and look at chapter number 6, and I want to look at verse 29 first of all. Listen to what verse 29 says. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. What is the will of God? What is the work of God? It is for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it you get to be a good tree? How is it you get to bear good fruit? It's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down a little bit further, if you will, please, and look at verse number 38. He said, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last days. You see the difference of the followers? The secret is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the fruit that's produced will be good fruit. But the key thing here is believing. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then he talks about two houses, and I'm finished. I preached on that some time ago, the two houses. What's the difference in the houses? You go through these subdivisions and you see a lot of what they call cookie cutter houses. They look just alike. And these two houses, if you were to look at these two houses, they may look very similar. They may all have the same paint, may have the same window trim, may have the same roof design. They all look alike. But what was the difference in these two houses he talked about? It wasn't what men saw. It wasn't the paint and that and the other. It was the foundation that made the difference. And Jesus Christ said, there's no other stone that can be laid except that stone which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll stand. But if you don't, you have to pay the price. Summing up the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says it's all about decisions. Will you trust Christ and go the narrow way? If you will, you become a good tree. You'll produce good fruit. You'll be a faithful follower, and you can be used of God to win souls. And more than that, your house will stand the test of time and all the storms that come your way if you built your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you right now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, rejoice in him and abide in him and love him and serve him. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? As we bow our heads in prayer and think about our Lord's message on the Sermon on the Mount, there are two paths. Nobody's out just wandering in the wilderness right now. You're either right now on the broad way or you're on the narrow way, because you entered in at the straight gate. You trusted Jesus Christ. But everybody in this building this morning, You're either on the narrow way or the broad way. You're either considered a good tree or an evil tree. You're either one who's doing the will of the Father and you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're the one on the broad way that's trying your best to do work of God without God in your life, and that's impossible. And ultimately, your house will be destroyed with the storms of time and when death comes. But you can trust Christ right now in the media audience or in here. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, while the piano plays. If you're here in the building this morning, maybe a visitor or guest, you may have been visiting with us sometime, or you may be even a member, but you know that there's not been a change in your life. You're not bearing good fruit. The results of the new birth is good fruit. That's just the way it works. You love Him, you serve Him, and God's blessed you. The Bible said, you know that you pass from death to life because you love the brethren. Do you love the church? Christ loved the church and died for it. And if you get saved and you're on that narrow way, then you love the house of God. You love the people of God. Are you obeying Him? He said, these who know me keep my commandments. They do my will. Are you doing His will? Christ has a plan for your life. He's not willing that any should perish. Right now, I ask you in Jesus' name to be reconciled to God. Call out to Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust Him right now. Call on Him right now. And if you're here this morning, you've been saved by the grace of God, you could testify, there's no way like that way. There's no way like the narrow way. It's a place of security. It's a place of safety. It's a place of joy. It's a place of refreshing. It's a good thing to know that you're saved and that heaven's your home and you have the witness of the Spirit of God in you. It's about decisions. Have you decided? Have you come to that place where the Holy Ghost of God has convicted you and drew you by His grace? And will you now say yes to the Master? I think about that picture of Isaac and his bride in the Old Testament. And they say to him, to the bride, will you go? He said, I will. Will you go? Would you be willing to go to heaven? Jesus said, and he wept over the city of Jerusalem. And he said, they will not come to me. The way you go to heaven is to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is those that see the Son and believe on Him that we have everlasting life. Have you believed on Jesus? He said, Brother Billy, I don't know what to do. The Bible said if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you can be saved if you believe on Him. Call on Him. Our Heavenly Father, now I thank You, Lord, for the blessed privilege of being in Your house this morning with Your people. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would breathe here this morning. God, I pray You do what I can't do, convict them of sin, righteousness, judgment, drawn by Your Spirit. And I pray, God, this morning some would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and cry out to Him. Others would come and bow around this altar and thank You that God, that You led them and You dealt with them and convicted them. And they made the right decision. They're on that narrow way, on the way to heaven. And God, I pray You'd use me to get others into that way as well. Help us to point people to Christ as their only hope of heaven. And God, give us power and anointing to do that.